Amen. Before we start our worship service, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning that you've given us, for the opportunity that you've also afforded us to come together to worship in your house. Thank you so much for the blessings you've given each and every one of us. We'd ask that you would open our hearts and be open to your word and to the worship this morning and to go forth this afternoon and the rest of this week and to spread the good news. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing hymn number 384, Love Divine, All Love Excelling, 384. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
What a great way. I always like coming down. Keith, is that too close or move it down my tie or is that better? Great way to start a Sunday morning church service with beautiful music. I know Terry and the choir always do a great job. Always look forward to coming down here and starting the service that way. Time in our worship services, when we bring forth our joys and concerns, so we certainly know that Jesus hears everything that we have on our hearts, but it's always good to bring it up publicly just so our fellow churchgoers can know about that and pray throughout the week. So do we have any joys or any concerns we need in the back, Keith? That puts the pressure on everybody else. You start off with a joy, something that beautiful now. That's it. We have any other joy or concerns? That's the family of Maddie Taylor, is that right? Okay, if you couldn't hear that, she was the one that drowned last week, so keep Maddie Taylor's family in your prayers. Any others? Because we can be blessed with such a, driving down here this morning, I told people, last year I had the chance to go out west on spring break with our family, and we're out in Utah and did all the national and state parks, and if you've ever been out there before, it is beautiful, but there's only so many times you can look at rocks, the way the sun hits them, and I said, you know, I can't wait to get back home to East Tennessee where the dogwoods are blooming and everything's green, so, you know, we're truly blessed to live where we do for numerous reasons, but if we don't have any more joys or concerns then, let's go to the Lord. I'm sorry, Terry. Okay. In prayer, please. Dear Lord, again, thank you so very much for the blessings you bestow upon us and for all the joys you bring in our life. We don't have to lift all those up verbally. We know those that are spoken and unspoken. You know what we worry about. You know the concerns. You know what makes our hearts heavy, but you also know what brings joy in our lives. And dear Lord, we would just like to thank you so much for giving us the ability to come together to worship in your house and to bless us each and every day. We would ask that you lift up our joys and concerns, especially Maddie Taylor's family as they suffer their loss, but also as we celebrate the joys of new birth and new things in our life that we use to bring glory for your name. We'd ask that you pray for us each and every day, that you'd watch over us and you guide us, you lead us and protect us, and you watch over members in our military, those that protect us on a daily basis. And we pray this morning that you would give wisdom and justice to our leaders both here in our country but around the world, that they would act in such a way that would bring glory to your name. Dear Lord, we would ask that we have unspoken requests, that you let us know, give us a reminder that you're always there with us, and we know, but sometimes we need a reminder. Just, we'd ask that you open our hearts and you just continue to bless us as we go forward. We ask this in your holy name as we pray that prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have our ushers at this time, Terry. Okay.
Please remember that your offering baskets are still at the... There's one at this door, and there's one at this door. And, you know, please remember that our church needs your support desperately. So, please, and, you know, our money is God's money. We remember that.
Okay. We have a prayer for our tithes and our offerings that I guess we'll present at the end of church, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you again for so much as you bless us and allow us to open our hearts as we give to support your cause and to help Rockwood United Methodist Church. We'd ask that we give and give freely, and we ask that you bless these gifts and our tithes, that they'll be used to glorify your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you again, Terry. Our scripture lesson, actually I'm going to use three or four verses this morning, but our main one comes from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. I didn't know if that was going to pop up on the screen or not. Okay. So I'll read from my Bible, Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Bible verse comes as Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And as I use that for the basis, before I really get into the meat of what my message is today, I love always coming to Rockwood United Methodist Church. And Dr. Lord called me about 2 months ago and said, hey, would you be willing to come back down to Rockwood? And I said, absolutely. And he said, I need you the last Sunday in May and all the Sundays in June. And I went, oh my goodness gracious. I didn't tell Dr. Lord, but I said, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm a speaker. And so I called Terry and I said, hey, Terry, I said, last time I was there, did I speak on this? She said, oh yeah, I remember that. You had the backpack. And I went, okay. And I said, what about this one? She said, yeah, I can remember that one too. And then I really started to panic. So what we did, we lined up some speakers. And I know you had Ron Woody last week, who's just really, really good. And then we've got some other folks lined up for you all the rest of this month. But from what talking with Terry, I think you all are getting a really good minister here in the next few weeks. Dr. Tabor, I think. So I look forward to maybe come down and visit and hear him speak. So certainly know I keep y'all in my prayers and always what's best for Rockwood United Methodist Church. But it's also the first time I had to go down to Chevron, and I had no clue. I've never been down there before. So I got down there at 9:30, and Rockwood used to be my favorite. But as I pulled in the parking lot down there, everybody was out in the yard waiting on me. And I thought, man, I am really something. Man, well, you know, I must be really good. Everybody greeted me in the parking lot, and they said, we can't get in the church. And I said, do what? And they had a new key made, and they couldn't get the front door open. So I got cut down a few notches, and we went ahead and had church service out in the yard, though, but it was really, really good. And I said, I'm getting ready. Of course, they call you all the big church. One of the ladies said, so now you've got to go to the big church. And I said, yes, ma'am. And tried to get here in time for Sunday school, and I didn't quite make it. But Jonathan greeted me with my hydrangeas and some lunch. So thank you so much for that. But certainly feel blessed to be down here this morning. And I don't know, I didn't know if I got it to Wanda in time, but the title of my message this morning, based off the scripture in Luke, is ASDFJK. And I didn't know. Does anybody know what that is? I see some heads shaking. No, I know the younger people probably don't. All right, well, I'll come back to that in just a second. How about the other part, which is make your bed? I'm not going to ask anybody. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I don't know how many people made their bed before they came to church this morning. Okay, I see a few hands. All right, more hands that did not know. Yeah, just two hands. So probably most of us didn't make our bed. The way I came up with that, 2 years ago, I was going through YouTube just watching videos, and a guy was speaking at University of Texas, Austin. He was giving a commencement address from 2014, and I mean, he was a sharp looking guy. He's dressed out in his white Navy uniform, and his name was Admiral William McRaven. And I encourage you, if you've not gone to YouTube or looked on the internet, Admiral McRaven, look up his speech. It's about 20 minutes what he gave University of Texas, but it is really, you talk about something that will light your fire. Admiral McRaven starts off and he said, if you want to change the world, make your bed. And of course, everybody laughed a little bit. He said, yeah, I'm not kidding. He said, if you want to change the world, make your bed. And when you think about it, Admiral McRaven goes on. He talks about when you make your bed, it's a real simple task. It's mundane. Most people overlook it. If they visit your house, they don't walk by a bedroom and say, oh, their beds are made. Admiral McRaven went on. He said, while it's so simple and most mundane and overlooked, he said, by getting up in the morning and making your bed, he said, you've already accomplished the first task of the day. He said, just by making your bed. He said, and because you've accomplished that first task, that's going to make it easier to go after your second task. And he said, throughout the day, you'll be able to accomplish tasks. But if you have a day that's just been terrible, you can't wait to get home. He said, think about it. When you come home and walk through the door and it's time to go to bed, you look at that and you come home to a bed that's made. You know, what a great way to end the day. And it's much longer than that. He goes on to give some life lessons. But as I thought about that, when you go to a hotel or a motel, think how nice it is when you leave in the morning, no matter where you are. You leave for the day, and when you come back, it's a magic bed. In most cases, you come back and your bed's made. And that's really nice. And because you pay for that room, you're entitled to somebody else to make your bed for you. We have that entitlement. And I started thinking about the word entitlement. And I thought, you know, especially in today's society, entitlement is more common than ever. I've changed jobs, but I know Christy's probably seen it in the schools. A lot of times you have people have their hand out. What are you going to do for me? You owe me. You owe me. And what's the city of Harriman going to do for me right now? And I'm sure it's the same way in Rockwood. But entitlement in this day and age is really common. People want position, or they want whatever they want. Prestige without really having to pay the price. And I think society today encourages us to get all we can as fast as we can. And I'm telling you, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. I think people today are on a career path instead of a character path. You think about it, we're in this mindset, we want something done as fast as possible. You can put oatmeal in your microwave oven and have a bowl of oatmeal in 60 seconds. If you need to go get eyeglasses, you know, get them while you wait. They will give you prescription glasses in 30 minutes. That's what we're used to. If you go through the drive-thru for the Burger King, now that's a long line. It's still new. I'm sure it's probably like the Taco Bell here in Rockwood. But, you know, I get bent out of shape having to wait for a hamburger. In heavenly days, if I'm on the interstate and I've got to get to Knox when somebody is in that left lane going slower than they're supposed to, I come unglued. And we're just used to everything happening so fast, and we want it when we want it. We've almost come to the part where we have a problem where duty, diligence, hard work, and attention to detail are rare in today's society. I don't see Coach K's head back there nodding yet, but I was going to use him as an example. Because we want everything and we don't really want to have to work to get to whatever it is we want, all of that sort of gone by the wayside. Duty, diligence, hard work, and attention to detail. Jesus, we just read in the book of Luke, taught, he that is faithful in very little things is also going to be faithful in much. He that is unrighteous in little things is also going to be unrighteous in much. And I'm going to come back to Coach K in basketball here in just a second. But I was reading Pastor Dennis Rainey, and that probably doesn't ring a bell. He is the president and CEO of Campus Crusades for Christ. So he's really got his thumb on college students, the younger generation that's coming up today. And he said, let me tell you what I found out. A lot of the younger generation, and I consider myself younger generation, so I'm not talking about anybody in here. He said, they tend to have lots of excuses on why things can't get done. And I'm sure that's never happened Coach K in basketball. They don't know he's shaking, I'm sure. And I can tell their sarcasm in the way he's shaking his head, no. But, you know, they come up with all kind of excuses because they didn't accomplish the little tiny things. They didn't pay attention to the details because all of us are focused on how do we get to the big goal? How do we really want to get there? We've all forgotten what it takes, the small steps, to accomplish that big goal. And I don't know what any of the names of Coach K's plays are, but I doubt, if it's like in football, I can't go out and say, all right, guys, here's 325 counter crisscross running. Not telling the formation, not telling a football player, step first with your left foot, then you come with your right hand. You've got to go, and Coach K, I always like telling the story. They were playing Midway one day, and Coach Hayes was telling me they got maybe in the second half, and the girls from Midway couldn't remember the plays, but they learned them because Coach K, who was on the Vision Beach bench, already knew what our plays were. I mean, he is a true student of the game. He was yelling out to the Rockwood kids, hey, this is what they're running right here, and it helped the Midway. I think Midway still lost to Rockwood, which was common, but Coach K can probably tell you, to run an effective basketball play, it's a lot of small steps and a lot of small detail that leads to being able to run a successful play.
Admiral McRaven's speech about changing the world by making your bed made me think just how important the small tasks that we all have in our lives are really important. Jesus was talking again to his disciples in the book of Matthew, verse 17:20, and as he told his disciples, he said, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Nothing will be impossible." Well, that made me feel even smaller than a mustard seed right there. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, it is tiny. And Jesus, from the words of his mouth, told his disciples, he said, if you have faith as tiny as that mustard seed, the mountain right outside our church is beautiful. You can look at it and say, move. And Jesus says that mountain would move if we had that much faith. Well, I can tell you standing up here right now, I don't have that much faith. It's something I have to work on every day, my small steps. Something so small as a mustard seed, just think what great and amazing task we could all accomplish if we all had that amount of faith, as small as a mustard seed. Think of the things we could do not only as individuals on a daily basis, what we could do as Rockwood United Methodist Church, what we could do nationwide as Christians if everybody had faith the size of a mustard seed. It's those small tasks of faith that we do on a daily basis that will eventually, hopefully, lead us to that type of faith. Don't you know that people that do these small tasks are often a result of somebody who has a big heart? And I always go back to think about, I know what Terry did in the school system as our math coordinator. She always did things above and beyond what was her title, took on extra tasks. I know what Christy has done at her school. Coach has probably done the same thing. We all do things above and beyond the call, and it burdens us. And a good example of what doing these small steps comes from an example of Paul. In the books of Acts 28:3, Paul had just been arrested, and he was on this ship with all these other prisoners, and they were headed to Rome. They were going to be put in jail for the rest of their life, and they had this storm come up and terrible rain, and they all make it to the shore of this island, and everybody's sitting around and they're shivering, cold, they have nothing to eat. Paul gets up without anybody saying anything and goes in the woods and starts collecting firewood. Paul gets a fire going and he warms everybody up. Nobody had to say anything. God didn't tell him to go do that, but because Paul had what was called a servant's heart, he just did what needed to be done to make everybody better. He was just as exhausted as everybody else, but he did what everybody needed. And when you have a servant's heart like Paul, or like Coach, or like Christy, or like Terry, and those are examples that I know, when you have a servant's heart, it doesn't matter how inconsequential the task is, it's going to get done with equal dedication no matter what they do in life. And they do it with all their heart. And Paul says in his letter to the church in Colossae, 3:23, he said, and let me read it. I've got it marked right here. Colossians 3:23, talking about a servant's heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So that's what Paul says. He says, we all need servant's heart. Just do whatever needs to be done, no matter how small or how minute that task is. We had a gentleman, I don't know if any of y'all ever went to Dr. Sadler. For years and years and years, he had a dentist office in Harriman. He was a part of Harriman United Methodist Church. And I didn't realize it till after he was long gone. He would come in 2 or 3 days a week in the middle of the evening after he'd worked all day in his dentist office. He would clean, he would paint, he would fix the air conditioner. Never told anybody. He went at night, so nobody knew. And then for years this went on, and finally somebody figured it out. But in my mind, what Dr. Sadler did, he didn't do it for glory. He didn't do it because he wanted people to give him accolades. He did it because it needed to be done. Dr. Sadler had a true servant's heart. And you know, Jesus actually specialized in doing these tiny tasks, these menial tasks that everybody else tried to avoid. Think about everything Jesus did. He would wash dirty feet. He would help little dirty children who had nothing. He would go out and preach and love and serve the lepers. They had that skin disease and they were untouchables. They were put off from normal society. They weren't allowed to enter the city. Jesus didn't avoid them. Jesus went to them. He loved on them. He preached to them. He fed the poor. Nothing, absolutely nothing that Jesus did was beneath him because he truly came to serve. Jesus didn't do these things because of his greatness, but he did these things because he expected us to as Christians to follow his example. And that comes from John chapter 13, 15. So I guess my question to all of us, and I'm just as guilty, I could say, am I or are you faithful in the small things that you do in life every day? Are you faithful in the small things? Am I faithful in the small things I do at work or in this church? I don't know. That's between you and Jesus. That's what's on your heart. Only you know that. And even if you are faithful in these little things, maybe you do have a servant's heart. But think about it. We probably know more people that don't have a servant's heart, that want stuff handed to them, that want, than people that truly do. But think about it. If there was a rash of people in our world today who really said, I'm going to be faithful in these little things at work, I'm going to be faithful in these little things in life and here at Rock United Methodist Church, think about how different our world would be today. What would our homes look like if we had an epidemic where husbands and wives became infected with being faithful to each other and the little things in their relationships with each other or with their children? Think how differently our family structure might be today. If we don't teach our children the importance of being faithful in the little tiny things as Jesus taught us, then who is going to teach them? I think that's a huge role, and I think we're seeing that in society today. You know, we're forgetting about these small things. Many people, many people in the Bible who accomplished great acts of faith in God, but they started with very humble beginnings that did lead to greater opportunities and greater things. We can learn from their examples as well of their faithfulness, of things that we might perceive that were smaller in order to reach the greater purpose that God has for each of us. Think about Moses, and I didn't know about this until I really started to try and prepare this message. Moses spent 40 years of his life tending sheep until the Lord appeared to him at Horeb. He needed to care for sheep for 40 years before he was ever able to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. What about Joshua? Joshua stayed by Moses' side for those 40 years and served Moses faithfully through 40 years of obedience. God had raised a mighty warrior that would defeat all of the enemies of Israel. By doing the small task of assisting Moses over those years, that's what prepared Joshua to take hold of his leadership role. The story of David. From the time he was a young boy, he was just like Moses. He was also a shepherd. That was his role. He defended sheep from lions and bears, but that all prepared him for future battles. David was chosen by God to overcome the obstacles of being a shepherd before he could ever strategize and defeat the enemies of Israel. And how about Ruth? When Ruth had to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem, that was a terribly humbling experience for Ruth. She didn't just sit in the house and just say, I wish somebody would help me out, or we don't have anything to eat. What Ruth did every single day was go out in the field and faithfully gathered grain for herself and her mother-in-law so they could eat. It was through God's intervention that Ruth would later become the wife of Boaz and then the great-grandmother of King David. So it was her small steps of persistence, of being faithful, being obedient in the little things to Naomi that led Ruth to greater blessings. And finally, you know, the ark, knowing the ark, it just didn't appear overnight or within a week. It could have happened that way, but when God spoke to Noah, he said, I need for you to build an ark. It took over 75 years to build that ark. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of little tasks in building that thing. So I go back to what I started with, the AS, the DF, and the JK. I can remember at Harriman, my mom made me take typing or keyboarding. I don't know what it's called. Miss Me was my teacher, and I thought, man, this is going to be easy. I sat down on that typewriter, and I can remember for 45 minutes for a week, A-S, 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 A-S. And I mean, we type it, and we pages and pages. And I thought, well, this is crazy. We go out there and talk, Miss Me, she's lost her mind. Well, the next week, we'd go D-F, D-F, D-F. And we did that all week. And then we went J-K, J-K, J-K. We finished that, and I thought, all right, now we're ready to start typing some sentences. No, then we had to go A-S, D-F, J-K. And it was over and over, and I could not see the big picture. I wanted to get to typing like everybody else was, but what Miss Me was doing was preparing us, our fingers, and get memorization to be able to put those together so that one day we could write sentences. It was those little exercises, like typing, like Coach does in practice, that we do every single day that teaches us discipline that's going to help lead to bigger and greater things. And you know, God does give us little exercises every day, whether we know it or not. When we spread good cheer to a coworker, or if we give a little extra for missions, if we help a needy neighbor, they might not seem like it's a big deal to us. They may seem trivial, but to God, He's using those little exercises of faith and love in everyday life to help us impact people and to further His kingdom. So one thing I would ask, and I need to be reminded of every single day, we as Christians don't ever need to underestimate what God can do through our lives. If we will be faithful to Him in the little things that He assigns us to us every day, then very soon the AS's, the DF's, and the JK's will turn into a sentence. And that sentence will become a paragraph, and then finally, that paragraph can lead to a story, probably the greatest story ever told, the story of life of Jesus Christ. So in closing, if you don't already, start making your bed in the morning. Start praying about and working on those little things in your life that God might be knocking on your door, might be tugging at your heart, might be asking you to do, because while it may seem small or menial to us, in the eyes of God, it's amazing how those little things can make such a big difference. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "I Am Thine, O Lord."
Oh,
as we go forth this morning. Remember, as you leave Rockwood United Methodist Church, you're not leaving the church. It's where we go for the rest of the day, for the rest of this week, until we meet back again. That's where the church is, doing those little things, making our bed, the AFs and the DFs, the JKs, doing those little things, spreading the good news of what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing in your life, and what Jesus will do. Amen.